Jackson Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Now that President Trump's tax and spending bill has passed, CBS's Willie James Inman reports it's time for his signature.
The president announced that he will sign the legislation later today into law, inviting all members of Congress to be there. The event will be followed by a 4th of July celebration, including a military jet flyover.
Russia bombarded Ukraine overnight with drones and missile strikes. BBC correspondent Paul Adams is in Kyiv.
The city was covered in a thick black pall of smoke, and there was a heavy, acrid smell in the air, which is only really now dissipating.
Scary scene in Hayward, California, when fireworks exploded inside a home, causing a massive hole to blow through the roof. This woman lives nearby.
There was smoke, there was shouting and everything, and then that's when I realized, oh my God, their garage exploded.
Two people are in critical condition. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab, and though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Brewers and the Marlins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers face the Marlins tonight at Lone Depot Park. Last night, the Brewers lost by just a run, 3-2 to the Mets. Jose Quintana taking the loss against his former team by giving up a single to Juan Soto that gave the Mets the lead. How disappointing was this loss? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I'm always disappointed when we lose, and especially when it comes down to inches here or there, or comes down to pitches, or comes down to, a close call or whatever. I mean, it seems like, sometimes you got to just win by more than that.
What do you think of Quintana overall?
I thought he was great. He was great. It's the best outing I've seen him have probably since I was on the other side of the field.
Basketball. At least three NBA teams showing interest in Damian Lillard after being released by the Bucks and becoming a free agent. CBS Sports says the Celtics, Lakers, and Golden State Warriors all interested in Lillard when he recovers from that torn Achilles tendon. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a slight chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially this morning. We'll get to around 90 for a high. The heat index in the mid to upper 90s. Tonight we'll drop to the low 70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
Happy Independence Day. On the next show, enjoy a special best of episode. And while we're off enjoying family, friends, food, fun, and fireworks, don't miss your chance to win Brewers tickets with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Pre-recorded content.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. It is 7:06. Nice to have you along on this Independence Day, Friday, July 4th, even if it is virtually, with a best of program from some features from the past couple of weeks or so, but a little bit of new material for this Independence Day holiday. And for that, I'm joined by Up North News reporter Selena Heller. Selena, how are you?
Very good. Very good.
You're still coming off the air show weekend at the Chippewa Valley Airport. Wow.
Yes, it's been an exciting, week and a half, because we start getting ready for the air show, years in advance, but busy time at the airport preparing the space there.
Oh, yeah. And it went off so nicely. And along with all of your other duties with hospitality and with just keeping things running smoothly, you get a chance to interview some of the folks that are involved. And it was very kind of you to take some time and talk to members of the Blue Angels about the notion of service. You know, these are folks serving their country. And here on the 4th of July, there's no better time to hear directly from them. And, you know, well, tell me about the questions you asked them. And why don't you lead into our first response?
Well, the funny thing is we fed them cheese curds every night. So that was part of my job, to get a cheese curds from different places. I asked them if they ever had cheese curds before, but that's not part of this. They love cheese curds. But on a more serious note, I also asked them, what does service mean to you? So that's what I asked everyone. And they had very poignant answers. Of course, they're very, respectable people in these positions, because these positions are such, they need precision and just the dutiful nature of these positions.
Teamwork and all of that, right?
Incredible. So Commanding Officer Adam Bryan, he flies the number one jet of the Blue Angels, and his family, he said, goes back for a long time, a military family, as do a lot of people in the Blue Angels team, 25, 30 years, he told me. And I asked him, what does service mean to you?
It is a way of us giving back to the country, which gives us so much. So as we approach the 249th year of our country, and for the Navy and Marine Corps, 250 years this year, it's a pretty special occasion for us in the Navy and Marine Corps, celebrating our birthday this year of 250 years. And everybody on this team is not only glad to be here, as we say, but that we are certainly proud to serve and represent the over 800,000 active duty service members in both the Navy and Marine Corps, as well as reservists, many of which are deployed around the world at this time.
Natalia Lucetti is Lieutenant Commander of the U.S. Navy Blue Angels, and her job is to make sure the jets are ready to go for the entire season, and checking the altitudes, the airspace. They have to check 5 nautical miles, she told me, around the airspace to make sure there are no planes, and they notify any jet pilots if anything, you know, is going on. So this is what Natalia had to say about what service means to her.
Service is putting everything first above my
myself, right? Just to be able to be there firsthand for our country, for our people, for my family, and be able to respond at a moment's notice, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to protect our country at any given moment.
So when you said that she has to help make sure the airspace is clear, and I wondered about this, were there any regularly scheduled flights into the Chippewa Valley Airport during the show? Did they pause for those? Do they cancel the flights? How did that work?
Yes, they cannot fly in any spare airspace during a certain time. I think after the show was all done the next morning, the flights could start at 11 a.m., but nope, it's pretty much shut down. There can't be ins and a lot of in and outs during that time. pretty secure.
Can't even imagine. All right. And you talked to one more member of the team.
Yes, Alex Verduzco. He's a sergeant in the Marine Corps, and his job, so it takes all sorts of different expertises, you know, and getting these jets ready to fly. It's not just the jets that you see, the jet pilots you see up in the sky. They're a member of 140 to 160 team members. There are just making sure this runs smoothly. So Alex is in charge of parts, the landing gear, flight controls, things like that. And he told me it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be on this team.
In a phrase or a quote that is one of my favorite quotes from a movie is that a strong man stands up for himself and a stronger man stands up for others. So really just being able to do more for the people that can't.
This does sound like you said, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And do you know how many shows roughly they do a year? How many places they go to? Anything like that?
Yeah, their season, I can't remember. They're gone most of the time. Their season runs, they get a break in the winter time, but then they go and train still in the winter time. So that's their little bit of a break too, but they're still training. So I their season is long. So they're away from home. I talked to several throughout all of these air shows, and it's enough to get home, do laundry, pack up again, and go. So it's a quick turnaround anytime they get back to Pensacola.
So when we're talking about serving your country, I mean, in this case, it is a lot of time away from home, but it's a great tool for recruitment as well as entertainment, letting people feel better about, you know, their armed forces and the skills that they have. And then the last part that I didn't even realize, that we get to expose some more out-of-towners to Wisconsin cheese curds.
Exactly. Yep.
did you get a rain? Did everybody like them? Did you get anybody that was like, do not give these to me anymore?
Well, probably by the end, since we had so many, I was like that. I said, I'm like, I can't have another cheese curd for a year because we had so many cheese curds. They didn't tell me that, but they had their fill probably.
I'm sure they did. It is possible to overdo it in one sitting or in a couple of days. So, but still, we gave them literally a taste of Wisconsin. Selena Heller, thank you so much for talking to them, for working the air show. Have a great holiday weekend, and we won't talk to you on Monday. We'll talk to you the week after that. Take care.
Sounds great. You too.
I wanted to share an article in this segment in The Bulwark, which is a conservative subscription news service that was started by, I guess, what are they called? Never Trump Republicans, Charlie Sykes, and folks like that. And a column from Jonathan Cohn. The headline is, "They are, in fact, coming after Obamacare again." And it reads, 8 years after trying and failing to repeal Obamacare, Donald Trump and Republicans are taking another shot. This time, their plans are less ambitious and their work has garnered less attention. But if successful, the efforts could still have devastating effects. It's buried in the quote unquote big, beautiful bill that the House sent over to the Senate for consideration. There's been a lot of focus, of course, on all the cuts to Medicaid and more. But the legislation would also take a few hundred billion dollars out of the Affordable Care Act, and up to 4 million people could end up newly uninsured. In much the same way that all of this talk about a changing climate and the Trump administration is rolling back all these environmental rules as if we have somehow forgotten smog and all of the other parts of pollution from 50 years ago. Similarly, it seems like we have a national case of amnesia among many Americans, as to the crisis that was facing healthcare before the Affordable Care Act, when it was so easy for people to be denied health insurance coverage. The ACA changed that. It's not a perfect bill, but Republicans would never work with Democrats to try to make it better. Instead, they've tried to scrap it entirely. So returning to the column here from Jonathan Cohn, he says the big, beautiful bill does things like rewrite the rules for passive enrollment and provisional eligibility and alter the allowable variation for calculating actuarial value. That's just all kinds of jargon for death by a thousand paper cuts. Or death by a thousand literal cuts, cutting people off from their health insurance. Because, well, here's one example. Right now, when you have a very big life event that happens, a divorce, the death of a spouse, other kinds of life-altering events, it allows people who might be newly uninsured to get insurance even if you're outside the normal open enrollment period. When that happens, the marketplace will attempt to verify income, citizenship status, and other things. And if it all checks out, you can continue to get affordable insurance. Essentially, there's a 90-day grace period during these times, but the Republican bill would effectively end the grace period. So anybody whose data didn't match up immediately would have to pay the full premium until they work through all the discrepancies. So imagine, that day a spouse dies, or you get a spouse, you get married and you change your name, or you lose your job. And somehow Republican politicians believe that day you need to notify all the right people and all the right government offices, and it'll all be processed same day. Otherwise, with no grace period, you become uninsured, or you no longer have eligibility for premium credits that keep your health insurance affordable. That's just one of the provisions. There's also the shortening of the annual open enrollment period from 2.5 months currently down to 1.5 months. And another provision that would end automatic re-enrollment at the end of the year and require people to reestablish their eligibility for coverage for financial assistance. The column quotes Kristen Link Young, a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution, who says, "This doesn't happen anywhere else in the healthcare system. Everybody else has automatic re-enrollment for their insurance, and yet here they're adding this mandatory annual process and a bunch of additional paperwork that's going to snare other people." And of course, they know what's going to happen. What happens then is that people throw up their hands and they walk away, and they no longer have affordable insurance coverage. And what do the Tom Tiffany's and the Derek Van Ordens and others say about that? Well, we didn't cut their coverage. They chose not to re-enroll. They chose not to adhere to the requirements. It's not our fault that we made the requirements nearly impossible to go along with. It's the same stuff that we said last week about work requirements for Medicaid. And that by, again, tightening those restrictions, making the barriers higher, they're able to say, well, we didn't cut the benefits. These are folks that just couldn't prove that they deserve the benefits. And that's some of the waste, fraud, and abuse that we're rooting out. Like getting rid of the automatic re-enrollment. Do you know how many things we have automatic re-enrollment for? How many newspaper subscriptions and credit card offers and all kinds of things that we don't need anymore? Maybe the Republicans could take a page from the Biden administration and look out for consumers and try to cancel some of those automatic re-enrollments before they go canceling automatic re-enrollment that's going to kick millions of Americans off of their affordable health insurance coverage. Now, before we take a break, we have to tell you that even with a pre-recorded show like this, Free Ticket Friday goes on. You can get yourself 4 tickets to a Milwaukee Brewers game at American Family Field for next Friday night's game against the Washington Nationals. Use that Civic Media app, text us the keyword that we're using from now till 9 a.m., and you're in the running in this statewide contest to have your name drawn. The keyword is holiday, H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, holiday. Text that as part of our Free Ticket Friday here on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink. But there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710, and I can build the perfect package for your business.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this June 19th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maliff here, welcoming in our great friends from UW Extension. We have Hmong Outreach Specialist with us, and Ka, I want you to say your name so the audience hears it properly before I muck it up all over.
It's Kazua.
Kazua. I'm so sorry. I will let you know, there's a listener that we have calling in and another guest that we have, and their name is Greg. And for some reason, I have trouble with the name Greg, too. So I'm just bad with names. But Kazua, I really do appreciate you being here and appreciate the subject matter that we're going to get into today.
Yes.
So, kind of a continuation of our last conversation, by the way. Yeah.
Yes. So our last conversation was all about the intergenerational trauma within the Hmong community. And just because of the Vietnam War and the secret war in Laos, how this trauma has been passed down to the newer generations. And so I know that last time we ran out of time. We could have sat there all day and talked. Yeah. But, you know, it's that continuation of, you know, what can we do from this point on to bring awareness to just the, not even just the Hmong community, but the general community, because there's mental health everywhere.
I think a good point is in the purpose of that and how much we believe in that, mean that, is that we are continuing this conversation. You're right. We could have wrapped it up right there, or we could have talked for days, but we wrap up there. And, you know, there's plenty of things that I know you guys at Extension want to talk about, want to highlight. The fact that we're going to continue to talk about this not only speaks to the importance of it, but I think the relatability of it too. Mm-hmm. After our last interview, we talked during the interview, and I talked to my mom about it, and there was such relatability from other creeds, other cultures, mm-hmm. about this. What I was really impressed with was members of our community reaching out and talking about that and how they felt it was relatable, and people from walks of life that I wouldn't have guessed and I wouldn't have expected. I appreciate that, not only from our listeners out there and the feedback, but just in this subject in general. Mm-hmm. I think with that is a big part of why, not only why we're talking about it, but the mental health part of this, mm-hmm. the healing that can happen from this, that for some that didn't even realize they needed healing. You know, that's I know that we're getting better about mental health, and I know we're talking about it better, but there's so many layers to it. And there are so many people out there. For every person that is identifying trauma and able to approach it and work on it and everything, there's so many out there that don't even realize they're dealing with trauma or that they have PTSD from this particular subject or something along those lines. And when they're triggered, they don't even know that they're being triggered. So hopefully that's another part of this conversation, that people that may be struggling out there are also being tuned into that.
Oh, yeah. And you brought up a really good point, James, just because, like, in our conversations, we talk about the trauma with war, right? But it doesn't have to be something huge like war that that brings trauma to you or any kind of lived experiences. I think of anything as big as a car accident or a house fire, right? But it could be as small as just a really bad experience at school or at the grocery line or just with somebody in general in the community. That's trauma too that you really don't think about. But the next time you experience something similar or you see something similar, just that it's that fight or freeze, right? And most people really freeze because they're going through the same emotions and the same trauma again. And so I think one of the biggest things that we don't talk about is that when that happens, we really unintentionally pass it down, like I had said earlier, to our kids. And because we had such a bad experience, we're going to make sure that our kids are sheltered. And so the kids don't have the same experiences, but yet at the same time, the world does change, times change. And so when we shelter our kids, then they never experience the real world or it's that culture shock once they go into the real world, right? Because they don't know what reality is. And so I always say we unintentionally pass it on to our kids. And so that's why we have this generational trauma. What we are afraid of, we instill in our kids unintentionally. And it just continues unless we recognize it and try to break that trauma.
I have my father's eyes, my mother's hair. And you know, anybody out there listening can say something similar to that of having, you know, inheriting something from a parent or something. This stuff isn't any different. The trauma, some of that stuff gets just inherited just as well as these other things do. And while it's not maybe a scientific DNA kind of thing, it is something that if you as a parent are going through something, more times than not, your kid ends up dealing with that and feeling some of that too. And that's not that's something to identify, not to feel guilty for. We don't need parents to have more things to feel guilty about. We already do that enough as parents. This is something to address, not to feel bad about or anything, because it's, again, we're so much of this and this topic, I think it needs to be brought up more often. When we're talking about mental health, there's no judgment here. At least I can speak for me, and I feel pretty confident that Kazuha feels very similar to this, that what we want just people to be aware of this stuff and to catch up on these things, because as a society, we're catching up. We're trying to fix the hole in the boat on the water. You know, we're trying to do this in real time. So we all need to give each other some grace. And maybe just as importantly, or maybe the most important part of this, give yourself some grace on this subject matter. That's how we heal. That's how we get better as a society. And hopefully some of these things our kids inherit are just our funny noses, or something like that. And not so much, some of these other things. But I feel like for most people, when I'm trying to explain this to them about generational trauma or how that could be passed on, the hair or the things that we inherit from our parents, using that as an example is a great way of doing that. It seems to make that connection for people. You brought up another great point of this too, though, of the idea that actions or certain events sometimes can do that. You don't necessarily know when something is going to be triggered or when something is going to trigger you with a topic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I had said earlier, it could just be, you could be doing your own little thing, taking a walk, and just the slightest noise or the slightest movement of something could really trigger all of that, And so I always encourage others to begin having that conversation with their parents or their grandparents or just with their family members, anybody, just because If we keep it silent, we're never...
You were listening to The Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Thursday morning. Lonnie Holthouse joins us, and he's been on a dairy education campaign. He's a dairy farmer himself, so he knows the cows. But what he didn't know was they were producing unique milk. We're talking about A2 milk, which is friendly to people with digestive issues consuming dairy. His biggest challenge today is trying to reach consumers that avoid the dairy showcase altogether because of their previous physical discomfort.
When we do demos at cheese places like Pyvee and Woodman's and Vern's Cheese, the people that walk up to us are people who already can have cheese. The ones that walk away from us and avoid us, they're the ones I need to be talking to. And I put a seminar on for a big grocery chain in Minneapolis. And I told them, I said, every person that walks through that front door that can't have cheese is not walking to the dairy case. And you're missing out on 50% of your customers because they have no reason to go there because they don't think they can have anything.
The cow herd is genetically tested and bred to produce A2 protein milk. Lonnie Holthouse doesn't believe it's going to be a big market, but it does provide financial opportunities for smaller dairies that can work within this niche. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Stick around with us for markets next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. Thursday morning from Chicago, cash corn is up 4¾ cents at 422¾. December new crop corn trading a nickel and a half higher at 439 a bushel. Cash soybeans are up 2¼ cents at 1055¾. And November new crop beans are up ¢0.75 at 1049¾. New crop wheat is up 0.75 cents at 564¾. The August Class 3 milk contract is trading 10 cents higher at 1834 a hundredweight. September milk is down 10 cents at 1883. Markets are closed tomorrow for the 4th of July holiday. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a slight chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially this morning. We'll get to around 90 for a high. The heat index in the mid to upper 90s. Tonight, we'll drop to the low 70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. We'll be right back. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, happy 4th of July. We have a specially curated Matinair on air for you, but Free Ticket Fridays is happening. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to this July 4th edition of Mornings with Pat Greitlow. We now take you on the quirky and wonderful journey that has been Melissa Kay's Pigeon Quest!
We are joined, as always, by Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. How is Melissa today?
I am excellent. How are you?
Great, great. You've all recovered from the wonderful play that you were working on, directing, and...
Yeah! Oh, it was so much fun.
Good. That's awesome.
I'm so proud of my cast and crew. They did awesome.
Do you have a next project in mind already?
I'm getting a pigeon.
What? Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Again, if I had like unlimited sound effects in front of me, this one would have been like the brakes being slammed on or the needle being dragged across the record. And say, what?
I'm getting a pigeon a play that you're directing?
Is it like Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus? Is it like a play on that?
I'm going to buy a dog kennel to keep it in, and I'm going to build some stuff because I just got a skill saw, and I'm going to beat up my maintenance guy to put in electric in my shed so I don't have to run an extension cord out my window and over there.
I really feel like I should apologize to the listeners that you're going to have to look online for today's history lesson because I really want to explore this more.
Do you know how many awards pigeons won during World War II?
200.
32.
Oh, I was way off.
She's you online. Yes, Pigeon Mama for the win.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Apparently you are not
pigeons
alone
are awesome.
Here.
They actually make really great pets. I'm excited.
I am befuddled. This is really... I did not see this coming at all. Not... It,
you
your,
asked.
Your excitement it's true. Is palpable.
She's right. You did ask.
I know. And I'm loving it. This is great.
I'm excited. I got permission from my landlords. They wear pigeon pants. Do you know this? This is why she said I could get them because they need time outside their cage every day. And they wear something called pigeon pants, which are like a diaper for a bird. And they're super cute. They're so adorable. They got like little suspenders.
I got no words right now. None.
I know. This is just so great. How's the quest for a pigeon going, Melissa?
I've put in a new inquiry. For bell pepper. I love you so much.
Oh, all right.
the bird's name is Pep and bell pepper and seems very cute. My cage arrives on Friday. And then I'm going and today I'm stopping by
my cage arrives on Friday. Yep, we're locking up Melissa for the crime of wanting a pigeon, you know.
No, and then I'm stopping at a friend's house to get some wood that he saved for me so I can build some pigeon perches.
Ah, the pigeon perches. Now the thing that everybody is really wondering about for the past 7 days here, do you have the pigeon pants yet?
Well, no, because I need to know what size my pigeon is so I can make the right size pigeon pants.
Pat, you can't buy pigeon pants if you don't know what size the pigeons are. You could have like really thick thighs.
I'm imagining this little tailor, you know, just... putting that tape measure around those little tiny
That's
legs.
Exactly what you have. It's not the legs, it's the body and the distance from the back of the neck to the base of the tail. And I'm going to make them myself.
Did you know all of this information before, like, say, 2 weeks ago? Or did you just...
I've been researching this for, like, the last 2 months.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Are these, like, suspenders? Like, can they go around over the top of the wings?
They go up over the top. Yep.
Oh, dear.
They're so cute.
I love this. We're just going to do a pigeon podcast based on this. What's the next step here now?
Well, we listen to pigeons cooing. So, the cage for my pigeon, not me, will arrive on Friday. I'm super excited to get it set up. and build the things. But it takes about 3 weeks to hear back from. But I did get an email back from
the pigeon rescue. How much of a background check do they need on you?
Did you have to put a little message on a pigeon's leg and send it off to get back? Is that how that works?
We sent away to WFHR to get all the latest and see if she'd be a good pigeon parent.
Well, they have over like almost 200 birds that are out there that need adoption. And they're and just think, a backlog of getting people...
I think just want to make sure that you're not in this just for, like I said, for a good meal. Let's get to what everybody really wants to know. They're not here for the history lesson on Wednesdays. They want an update on Pigeon Quest.
You're hilarious, Pat. I love it. So I did hear back from the Pigeon Rescue.
Okay.
And they said to complete the next, they enjoyed reading my application. And
enjoy the application.
This is such a bit. This has got to be a bit.
It's not. I will forward you the email. Okay. They literally said that. And then they said that I need to send pictures, like a virtual tour of my home.
Oh, come on.
What?
Of where my cage is.
We are so being punked, Parker.
This can't be.
She is still playing the long game on this. I'm telling you.
I am not. This is literally what I read in the email. I took pictures of my living room where my cage is set up.
Wait. Is there a chance that you're the one who's being punked?
That's what I'm thinking.
You think you're writing you a pigeon quest, and instead it's just the most creative stalker ever imagined in broadcast history. I'm really getting concerned now, Melissa. I really am. This is okay. So you're sending pictures of your house now.
Just the outside.
Okay. All right.
I mean, just the inside, not the outside.
All right.
I mean, they did ask for pictures of like the basement and, you know, the attic and all of my expensive personal belongings and maybe my security card. No, I'm kidding, Pat. I just had to show where my cage is sitting in relation to the rest of my home. And so that they can be assured that my pigeon pet will have time with me. And
These rescue people are very serious about their rescues.
They are. Well, have you ever adopted a pet from a shelter?
No.
Because they do ask a lot of personal questions.
Well, it's good. And it's good that they care.
Yeah.
You know, to a point. Because again, we're talking about a pigeon. But I mean, call me crazy.
I am offended, Pat.
On behalf of all pigeons, that I would say that their amount of care related to, say, a dog should be the same as what you're saying.
Yes. You should,
okay. All right. So they're asking all the right questions to make sure that I forget. Didn't we give this bird a name already?
Well, I inquired about Bell Pepper, Pep.
Oh, Pep. That's right. Okay.
Yes. All right. So we'll see. I responded, and we'll see if I get an email back. I'll keep you updated.
People want to know, what's the latest with Melissa Kay in this edition of
Pigeon Quest?
Wow, pre-production.
So much. Yeah. Oh, it's so perfect.
When we make time.
You have to send that to me. That's adorable.
Oh, thank you. It's we put all the 5 seconds into that. That
yeah.
Was pretty nice of us. So great, though. It's perfect.
So what's the latest on Melissa Gets a Pigeon?
I got an email last night at 8:00.
Okay.
From the Pigeon Rescue in Chicago.
Okay.
I have been approved.
Oh, baby.
Look how excited you
are.
She's a winner.
They are confident that I am an ideal pigeon home.
Ideal. Oh, believe me, you ideal pigeon home. Yes.
they sent me, they said, thank you so much for sending the photos of the pigeon cage you prepared in your lovely home. They think my home is lovely.
Aww. Your home is lovely. At least what part of it that we can see. You're clearly not.
I am so excited, you guys.
I mean, outside the camera range, you might be a full-on hoarder, but no, I think that's a lovely home.
It's a great-looking corner.
That is going to be one lucky pigeon, but yes. We don't know yet if you're going to get your choice of pigeon.
Well, Bell Pepper is available.
Bell Pepper.
But then so is Princess P, Samothrace, and then she also recommended Paint Bucket, and I'm very curious about Paint Bucket.
Paint Bucket?
Yes, okay. That's the name of the bird, and named so for the colorful, like, it looked like she walked through under a paintbrush.
Oh, okay.
All right. But yeah. So I have to decide.
On the text line here, Laura from Wisconsin Rapids, I can't wait for the pigeon pickup road trip story.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to go get the pigeon, right? They don't deliver it.
I don't want them to ship it. They do ship birds, but that just seems awful. So I'm going to go get it.
No, especially when it comes in a bucket. It's got KFC written on it. It's just so, so tasteless. Melissa K, thank you. Oh, we're out of time.
Wow. Wow.
Of course it's Melissa. Of course she's excited because it's time for this week's installment of...
Pigeon Quest.
Spare no expense.
So much. You guys, I showed that off to everybody.
Oh, that's so nice. And we've made you sit here all throughout the commercial break. You've been just dying to tell us the news because apparently, once again, your email machine went off last night. And
yes, I love that they send it to me on Tuesdays.
We don't know. So let's do it. What's new?
Okay, so they are so happy for Paint Bucket. Paint Bucket's the winner. I'm getting Paint Bucket.
You're getting Paint Bucket?
Yes. And they ship them by mail. So I'm going to have to like go to the post office to pick up Paint Bucket that's going to be shipped. But she said that they have the special relationship with their local place and it's all fine.
Parker? I don't know how I feel about this.
Okay, so my feeling is, what's it going to be like?
Jeopardy. You in danger, girl. You're in danger.
Well, yeah, that part's not great. My thinking is, imagine walking out of the post office holding a pigeon.
Paint bucket. Yes, I know.
In a box. It will be in a box that has holes.
But
in,
yes,
in
but you're not going to contain yours. You're going to open that box in the paint.
The second.
Oh, no, I'm not opening it in the car.
That was the second choice for an SNL skit. Pigeon in a box. Paint bucket. Wow.
So paint bucket could be here as soon as they're going to ship it on Monday.
Okay.
So by next Wednesday, I could have... Mm-hmm. A pigeon.
You're so excited about this. You know who's so not excited? Do you know where, you know, the saddest creature on this planet right now is little Bell Pepper, little Pep, who didn't make the cut and isn't going to be living with Melissa. Not yet, anyway.
That's true. Could be, too.
You know,
we'll start with
like,
one.
Much like cat ladies, bird ladies, they got to get their start somewhere. Yeah. And
oh, come on. Now, actually, no, that's not true.
Tony asks, have you pigeon-proofed your place yet? Yes, we've discussed this.
A little bit, yes. I still need to check my plants because I don't know if any of them are, you know, hazardous to my newly arrived friend.
Paint bucket.
My co-worker.
Oh, no. Parker, maybe Melissa is the one that broke your computer because
or it was paint
with
bucket.
It's like that, or it was paint bucket because that computer is where we would normally, and Parker, we got to get this in sync, where we would normally play
Pigeon Quest.
Hey, nice job. I think you actually are more in sync than the first time you did it.
Probably, which again,
may or may not help
the bit. We thought that there was a chance that Paint Bucket would be on your shoulder already.
Well, see, there was a shipping delay because of the super hot weather. They couldn't ship her.
It was a longer flight than...
Okay, so the delay isn't in the process of shipping. Paint Bucket isn't in a warehouse someplace.
No, you know? That's why they didn't, because it's too hot for them to be in the truck. And so, there's a delay. Next possible option is the 7th.
Okay, all right.
Because of the 4th holiday weekend and, you know... I might be driving down to meet a volunteer halfway. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
It's still a quest.
Our little pigeon toes crossed, as the case may be. Soon to be pigeon parent of Paint Bucket.
I don't know if the name's going to stay, but soon to be.
Okay. No, I'm not going to say it. No more KFC jokes. Got to go.
I don't know. My brother said Mick Bucket, and I'm kind of liking that.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa.
Oh, boy.
Congratulations.
Always a pleasure, guys.
All right. Much more ahead in the next hour of our mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee on June 7th presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's independence resolution word for word. Resolved that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Summerfest's third and final round of dates. Can you believe it? We've again made some personal picks for you to enjoy the big gig along Milwaukee's Lakeshore this holiday weekend. Let's start with the music, and some great throwbacks are playing, including Richard Marx, the band Chicago, Fountains of Wayne, even Sebastian Bach. Find the full list of artists on the more than 12 stages at summerfest.com. Friday night, Johnsonville is hosting a huge party for America's 249th birthday. Don't miss singing, cake, and fireworks to cap off the celebration. And here's what I call your new must-do. Grab a free big win ticket at the gate on Saturday. You could walk away with more money than you arrived with. $1 million up for grabs. No kidding. Wishing you a happy holiday. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
If we keep it silent, we're never going to truly understand the trauma that they went through. For example, my personal parents, we have never had that conversation of their journey from Laos to Thailand to America, just because I know it was very traumatic for my parents. And so I know that we know little bits and pieces. We know some of the things that happened to my older sisters. But other than that, we really don't know what that journey was like, besides knowing that it was traumatic. And so, as kids growing up, we never wanted to have my parents go through that traumatic experience again, right? Just because it was so hard on them. However, now that we're all getting older and my parents are starting to understand mental wellness, my mom is starting to open up and kind of talk about life back then, which is really good for her, just because you can see the good times shining through. She talks about her parents and her sisters and her brothers. And so it's something that we never really heard, these stories growing up. But now that mental health is out there and it's becoming more, I want to say, normalized, right? I think she's starting to heal, which is great to see, because, you know, she's going through these experiences, but she's finding the good parts of it. And then she's, on the other hand, she's, like I said, she's healing. And so she's she's able to be more present with her kids and her grandkids. And I think that's something that we all really truly love and enjoy, just seeing that happier side of my mom. And not saying that she was never happy, but now you can just see like all this weight lifted off her shoulder.
Right. You know, you see, you can tell the difference when you see it, you know, that got me. My mom and I are going through a similar thing. I should say my mother is going through a similar thing right now, too. And I'm so, on a personal level, really happy for her, for your mom, and for you guys as a family on a lot of levels. That's really encouraging to hear. And it also reminds me and speaks to something. And I am every day trying to be a better parent and trying to be a better person and all those things. So I'm not saying any of this from on top of a mountain or anything like that. I got to learn and I got to take my own medicine as much as anybody. But the job of a parent, what's our, you know, protecting our kids, keeping our kids safe, job number one, certainly taking care of them and all, but also preparing them for the next stage, for them to be able to fly out of the nest. And we do them no service if we're not preparing them for life. It's the job. Most of us don't want our kids to leave the nest and everything, or hang on to them to be young as long as possible, but that's not how time works. And this is the gift that we're given as parents, of getting to see our kids take flight. And one of the ways of doing that is giving them some world perspective, some ideas of, you know, you may see me now, but this isn't where I started. It took all of this for me to get to this point. When I hear about what my mom and dad went through just to go on a first date, let alone to have me, it gave me perspective when I had kids and some of that, and to share with them, along with all the other life examples they shared. When your mom shared that with you, I can only imagine the amount of not only empathy, but perspective and different, appreciation that came to you, along with just the wonderfulness of knowing our own personal history. Every single person has an amazing story. And if you think your story is amazing, well, imagine your grandparent or your grandparents' grandparents, how their story was. And I admit that this is a little bit part of my culture. It's a very important part of Jewish culture to pass down history for thousands of years and continuing. My people have been just scorched, just done. And there was no internet to keep track of our history. So it was important to our people to pass it on down. I used to think this was a very Jewish thing. This is a cultural thing. This is like almost every culture has that. And so what we're doing when we're sharing these personal stories, we're just continuing our legacies. We're continuing one of the important parts of all of our cultures to share these stories. And along with that, giving some perspective, helping our kids be better adults, I think, in the long run, and where this goes, along with all the healing that can be done. And you don't need a, nowadays it feels like you turn, there's a supplement for, or a pill for everything, and it has like 30,000 side effects. This is not that. This is something that you can just do on your own through healing, through time. I wouldn't encourage necessarily just jumping right into this. You as a person have to think about this first, I think, but it's doable. And you don't need to worry about a bunch of side effects or anything.
Oh yeah, it is very doable. And just being, like you said, just, it takes healing, it takes time, but just being supported by the right people too. Surrounding yourself with people who will support you throughout this journey is super important. Whether it's just somebody listening, right? They don't really have to give you feedback or anything of that sort. Just being that listener and just listening to you, I think is super important. Just making sure that you have that support network around you. And I'm glad you mentioned the kids, because I think of my own personal kids. When my mom started talking about these things, I think it changed my kids' perspectives on how their grandparents are too, just because, you know, they were born and raised in America. They're very Americanized, I can tell you that. And it's a completely different mindset from our elders, because they have gone through so much. And so the expectations of our elders for, like, my parents' expectations of me, it's like anybody's, right? They wanted me to either become a doctor or a lawyer, go get my PhD and all of that. And so it wasn't anything on their end. You know, it's not their fault or anything, but it's what they wanted us to do better, right? They came to America. They wanted us to be successful. And so, I think that was something different. I always say, now I will support my kids no matter what. But whenever we have that conversation of, oh, grandma and grandpa wanted us to do this, I think my kids weren't always 100% sure why, but now that they are starting to hear grandma and grandpa's stories, they're changing that mindset and they're becoming more understanding and, like you said, more empathetic about the journey and everything that's happened.
So much of this is like trying to, especially for the children of the of kids, and we're all children of immigrants. We all are in this country, so it's not just that, but certainly the newer or whatever, however you want to say it.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At the Iowa State Fair, President Trump touted the passage of his tax and spending bill.
We've saved our country. We've got the hottest country anywhere in the world, as said by many, many leaders of other countries.
This woman, though, is concerned about the Medicaid cuts that she says will impact her cousin.
I'm concerned about her not having the medical care that she needs, that there are so many people. How do we know who gets cut?
Protests are happening across the country today against the Trump agenda. The holiday means a lot of you are traveling, and it's busy. CBS's Dave Malkoff's at the airport in Atlanta, where 4 million people are expected to go through this weekend.
United says they expect to fly 560,000 people every single day of the 4th of July travel period. That's something like 3 takeoffs per minute.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey.